The following presentation is brought to you from the supporters of the Church of the Sovereign God.
In the writings of the Apostle Paul, he made what I would consider several interesting and exciting statements to exhort the members of the body of Jesus Christ, the Church of God. One of these statements is that believers are to recognize and to think about and to come and know and understand that we are to be sons of light and sons of the day. And that's a very important thing. And I want you to go with me to the book of Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, beginning in verse 4. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Now, that day should overtake you, he's referring to the return of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's the focus. That's what he's talking about. And the reason he's saying that you're not going to be overtaken is because the others are who are in darkness are going to be overtaken. But we're not going to be. Verse 5. You are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober or be wise. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. This obviously for us to be this, to be part of the children of the light and children of the day. It obviously makes it necessary as believers that we would put on the armor of God. The very next verse shows that. Verse 8. And it says, but let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. And brethren, this also includes something else that we're to take notice of. And that is, it includes comforting and exhorting one another. Verse 11, 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 11. Wherefore, or therefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as you also do. He is saying to the congregation here in Thessalonica, you do these things, but Paul is exhorting them to even do it more so. That's the gist. That's what he's talking about. That's what he's telling them. And so here is an admonition to the church of God. This admonition to comfort and edify one another is also one of the many other one another passages that we find in the New Testament. Now I'll show you what I'm talking about. Because there are several other one another passages. And from that, we are to exhort, and we are to comfort, and we are to edify, build up one another. Here are some of those other passages, one another passages that I'm referring to that will show us that we're to be doing these things, living this way of life, because it is through this that we do comfort and edify one another. It's an interesting concept. It's an interesting way of looking at this, I believe. The first one is we are to love one another. John 13, verse 34, John 13, verse 34, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. This is one of the concepts. This is one of the things that we see in the scriptures of how we are to be comforting one another. We are to be edifying one another, is that we are to love one another. The next one I want to show you is be affectionate to one another and honor one another. With that, let's go to Romans chapter 12, Romans 12 and verse 10. Romans 12 and verse 10. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. and we do this, we are comforting and we're edifying one another. Okay, the next one is we are to serve one another. Serve one another. Now, this is like a list of things. It could be bullets. Galatians 5 and verse 13. Galatians 5 and verse 13. For brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. And again, this is one of those concepts that we see in Scripture that we use to comfort and to edify one another. Another one is forbearing one another. Another phrase that we would probably better understand for forbearing one another is showing tolerance. Is showing tolerance. Go with me to Ephesians 4 and verse 2. Ephesians 4 and verse 2. This is under the point of forbearing with one another or being tolerant with each other. With all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing or showing tolerance one another in love. Another one is be kind to one another and forgive one another. Be kind to one another and forgive one another. The obvious reasons that I put two of them together is because it's in the same verse. Still here in Ephesians 4 and verse 32. Ephesians 4, 32. And be you kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Do you know that God and Jesus Christ have forgiven you? Then we also are to be tenderhearted and loving and forgiving and forbearing, showing long suffering or whatever other term that we would want to put in there with one another. Another one is submit to one another. Submit to one another. Ephesians 5 and verse 21. Ephesians 5, 21. Submitting yourselves therefore one to another in the fear of God. And I have one more. There are others, but I'll stop after this one. And that is exhort one another. Exhort one another. It's in the book of Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 13. Hebrews 3, 13. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you should be hardened through the deceivableness of sin. We're to be encouraging. We are to be, you know, moving, helping to move one another along. And I don't know if you've ever thought about it like this, but how many different one another passages there are in the New Testament. Every one of these aids us in being able to comfort and to edify one another. And I think it's right to say that these are based upon the principle that we are members of one another. Romans 12 and verse 5. Romans 12 and verse 5. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. To put it another way, we're all in this together. We all belong to one another. We all are there for one another. We are there. We are to be there for one another and doing all of these things that we've talked about, that we've seen, comforting and exhorting one another. And I think that all of us would certainly see and would certainly understand that this implies that there is an interdependence where we need one another. There is this, we have to have this dependence upon one another. If we're all part of the same body, we all need all parts of the body. I know that there have been various times when people, even in the Church of God, have had you know, limbs removed, fingers removed. That's a horrible thing to think about. But you ask them, do you ever think that you that it would be good for you to have that finger, that hand, that arm, that leg, or whatever it is back? And the answer is to everybody is going to be yeah. They may think, well, I've got along without it. I can cope without it. That's not my question. Would you like to have it back because it aided you? And the answer would be yes. Yes. We're all one part. We're all a part individually, but collectively all of one body. And, of course, that body, of course, is Jesus Christ. It is also the realization that there is an interdependence that is to be felt and expressed among the bodies of believers. Just being part of the body is not all there is. We're to recognize it. We're to feel it. We're to sense this. We're to recognize that we all are part of the body. So, having said all of this that I've told you, and I saw several of you writing very rapidly, I understand that's to go through the rest of the teaching. In this teaching, in this sermon, we're going to focus on this exhortation to comfort and edify one another. The word comfort is the Greek word, and I want to spell it for you because I'm going to tell you there's at least two different ways this word that I've had pronounced for me. It's P-A-R-A-K-A-L-E-O. I've heard it pronounced Parakleto, and I've also heard it Paracletes. And even though that's not the way it's spelled, that's just the way that some from who read Greek have pronounced this very word. I don't know how you pronounce it. Through the years, I've always heard it pronounced as Parakleto. And the word means to call to one side, to call for, to summon. The sense of this word is where someone is walking alongside of someone else to give them aid, to help them. This is the word comfort. This is the Greek word. This is the sense of that word. So whenever we talk about it, we are to comfort one another. Do you get the sense of that we should be, that we are to be there with them? We are to be there to aid them and help them and whatever, to go all of that list of things that I talked about, the one another passages, to love them, submit to them, honor them, comfort them. I mean, do all of those things. Yeah, we are to be there with them, walking alongside to do so. Here, I think, is a good place to ask the question, what is the source of comfort? Where does this kind of comfort come from? Well, the obvious source is the Father and the Son, and they comfort us through the giving of the Holy Spirit. In fact, John 14, verse 26, many of you will have this verse, at least you will know it if you don't have it committed to memory, John 14, 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. And so it's that same word. Now, it's not the word that we are the Holy Spirit. It's not that. But we are to use the Holy Spirit, which obviously is a source to us of comforting one another. There are other passages in the scriptures that show that it is also a source for comfort. And I want to talk about those. I want to show you those. The first one I want to show you is a scripture that says, the God of all comfort. Now, it's not saying he's the God of all the Holy Spirit. That's not what it is saying. It's the God of the one who is willing to walk along our side to aid us and to help us, to call, to summons. That kind of thought. 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 3. 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. I'm going to show you another verse, and that's in Romans 15 and verse 5. Romans 15 verse 5, it says, Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus. It's another way of saying comforting one another. So it's showing the God of patience and consolation grant to you that you would be like-minded. And He is the God of mercies and the God of all comfort. We're to be recognized as that kind of person. Because it's part of our responsibility as being part of the body. Okay, the next phrase that I want to show is along the same line. It's one where it says the Lord Jesus Christ is a source of comfort. 2 Thessalonians 2, and we're going to read verses 16 and 17. Now our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God, even our Father, which has loved us and has given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. So he's here, he's talking about God the Father and Jesus Christ, that He will comfort you. So He, the Father, and we've also seen that the Son, they're both sources of this comfort that we are to be using to comfort and exhort one another. There's also a passage that says that the Holy Spirit. Now, I know Jesus in John 14, it says, I'm going to go away and I'm going to send a comfort unto you. And of course, the comforter is the Holy Spirit. That's like the purpose, a very important purpose of the Holy Spirit. It has other responsibilities, and we're not talking about the Holy Spirit in this particular teaching, but we understand that this is what he's saying. So I want to show you a passage that actually says what I'm talking about. It's over in Acts chapter 9 and verse 31. Acts 9:31. Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, were multiplied. So the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit we see through Scripture are sources of comfort. And we are to use these sources of comfort to comfort one another. And those passages that I read, I think, will show you just that. But that's not all the sources that we're going to see about that we use to comfort. The Word of God is also a source of comfort, such as the writings we have of the Old Testament, because this is what it tells us. Paul tells us this again. It's in Romans chapter 15 and verse 4. We read 15 verse 5 earlier, but this is in verse 4. It says, for whatsoever things were written aforehand or aforetime, in other words, Old Testament, were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. So the Old Testament Scriptures are words that we are to use to comfort one another. Now, we could go through, I'm not going through, I'm just showing you different sources of comfort that we have available to us to how we do this, because this is what the Scripture told us, that we are to, back in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 11, where it says, therefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another. There's also New Testament writings or promises that also are a source of comfort that we do use. 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 18. 1 Thessalonians 4 verse 18. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. These words is the of what he's referring to is the return of Jesus Christ. So we can use the Word of God, statements that are found in the Word of God, Old Testament and New Testament, to use these words and talking with others who are part of the believers to comfort them. In other words, this helps. We're walking along. It is as if we are walking alongside of them, coming to their aid. That's what it's like. The real picture of that word is like a helper. It's not the one in charge, but it's an help. It's a helper. It's another word that could be used that is also, and I don't have that scripture because I didn't write it down. Maybe I should have. It's the word associate. And there's a passage that says that. You know, and it's so an associate. One is, it's not the one in charge, but it's an associate, one that helps us out. It's like a person walking alongside doing a job, and you got a helper that walks alongside. It's there. That's the Greek term for helper, or the Greek word for comforter, the one that walks alongside to aid, to help. And all of these different sources that we're looking at are for us to use and comforting one another. It's an interesting picture whenever you think about it in this way. But that's not the last one. As brothers and sisters in Christ, we are to also be a source of comfort. Now, we've already read that verse. We've already read a verse on it. It's 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 11. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another even as you do. But also in 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 18, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. We've read both of those passages, but that's what it is telling us. So we use these words of, in particular, what it's referring to is the return of Jesus Christ. Now, that's not the only words in the scriptures that we use to aid and comfort one another, but obviously that one we are to be doing because Jesus Christ is returning. Aren't we glad? And our prayer is, even so, come, Lord Jesus. And we are comforting one another when we do that, if we really believe that this is what the scripture is telling us to do. My point in telling you all of these, showing you these different sources, is to show us that we are so blessed by God that He has given to us so many different sources of comfort available to us by which we can use and comfort one another. I guess the question would be, do we use them? You know, do we? Brethren, for us to be able to receive the comfort that God has intended for us, I think, first of all, we need to realize that on an individual basis, we have to have a right relationship with God. For us to we have to recognize that we do have a right relationship with God before we can receive the comfort that He has for us that we can use and comfort others. 1 Peter 3 and verse 12. 1 Peter 3 and verse 12. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and His ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Now, remember I said we have to realize that we have to first have a right relationship with God. And if we don't, because the eyes of the Lord, it says, are upon us. And so we have this available, this right relationship is available to us from God. And I think that something that seems pretty obvious to me is that this will involve doing the Father's will. Matthew 7, verse 21. Matthew 7, 21. Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many are going to say to me in that day, meaning what day? The return of Jesus Christ. Lord, Lord, we have not have we not prophesied in your name and in your name cast out demons? And he'd go off through all of these things, and then Jesus comes down and he says, I never knew you. Because they didn't have this right relationship with Father and Son, and they were not doing the will of the Father. Because this is what it says. This is the context. But it's he who does the will of the Father. And so it's pretty obvious. It's also, to me, pretty obvious that it involves living by the words of Jesus Christ. John 14, verse 21. He that has my commandments and keeps them, he it is that loves me, and he that loves me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. In other words, I will make myself known to him. Judas said unto him, not Iscariot, but Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself unto us and not unto the world? And Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. So it's pretty obvious that we're to be doing the will of the Father, and keeping all of this in mind, to be able to receive the comfort from God that he has for us, to give to us, that we're going to be doing the will of the Father, and we're going to be keeping the words and the teachings of Jesus Christ. Which makes it pretty obvious to me that we as believers are going to be feeding on or eating the words of God. In other words, through our prayers, through our Bible studies, through our meditating on the Word of God. This is something we're going to be doing and need to be doing on a daily basis. Not just sometimes, I haven't prayed, I hadn't Bible study, I hadn't meditated on the Word, so I need to do this, you know, but I need to think about doing that. What do you mean you need to think about doing this? This is something that needs to be always ready before us. That we willingly, we want to, because we're hungering and thirsting after the Word of God. It has to be there. We are feeding daily on the Word of God. James 1 and verse 21. James 1, 21. Wherefore, lay aside all filthiness and affliction of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted Word. It is engrafted within us. It's the picture of taking a fruit tree and taking another type of fruit and grafting it onto the tree. Well, it's like we're a tree and he's planting or grafting to us the Word of God, because it's not natural to us. But he is grafting the Word of God to us, which is able to save your souls. So, I think it goes without saying, but I'm going to say it anyway, God's Word is a source of a whole lot of comfort. It is a source of a lot of comfort. Romans 15 and verse 4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime, this is, we read this earlier. It is there. That through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Also, we need to realize that comfort comes from the joy and peace of walking in God's way of life. Now, I know I'm kind of saying the same thing in different ways, but I'm tying different passages in, because different people take different passages and they learn it in different ways. You know, you can say, I've had people say, I really liked that particular verse. And somebody else goes, I didn't hear that verse. You know, they heard the same sermon. I've had that happen, because different things hit different people in different ways, which is good. But let's go to Psalm 1 in verse 1. Psalm 1 in verse 1, because we're talking about comfort comes from the joy and peace of walking in God's way of life. Psalm 1 verse 1. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law does he think about it once in a while. But he meditates day and night. We are to be feeding, eating on the Word of God, and it needs to be done daily, and we're to have this delight in doing so. And it is through all of these things we're talking about, this is where this comfort from God comes to us. I'm going to show you two other passages here. Psalm 119 and verse 165. 119 and verse 165. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Now, I've had many people in the Church of God over the years have said, well, that was something that just really offended me. I mean, it's maybe bad in talking to some people with me because too many scriptures come to my mind. And the first comes to my mind is this, then you don't love the law of God. I don't typically tell people that. But I think it, because that's what this says. Great peace have they who love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. I'm offended at so-and-so in the church who did such-and-such. Then you don't love the Word of God. You don't love the law of God. That's what they're saying. They don't mean that, but it's because they don't know this. Maybe haven't had it pointed out. I don't know. But I have one other passage, Jeremiah 15 and verse 16. Jeremiah 15 and verse 16. Your words were found, and I did eat them. And your word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart, for I am called by your name, O Lord God of hosts. Wow. Wow. That kind of summarizes it, doesn't it? So because we are members of one another, we are to comfort one another. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 is what it says. Comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as you also do. And brethren, we comfort one another with the comfort that we have received from God. It's sort of like a circle. God comforts us, then we are to comfort others that are part of the body. But I'll show you this scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Now, without asking for comments or show of hands, but just think about it. How many of you have received comfort during times of trials and tribulations from God? And the answer is all of us have. And what he's telling us is, because all of us could raise our hand and say, yes, I have, then we are to use that to comfort others. So in other words, each one of us receives comfort through our individual relationship with God, and each one of us receives comfort through our relationship with one another. Now, that's either true in our lives or it's not true. But it's true as far as the Bible is concerned. This is what the church, the body of Jesus Christ, looks like. So I think that we should see that unless we are active members of the body and comforting one another, we miss out. And our brothers and sisters in Christ also miss out on the comfort that God offers his people. And he may be offering comfort to someone else through us. And if we're not doing it, we're missing out on comforting them, and they're missing out on receiving the comfort. So you see, brethren, God intends for us to receive comfort from two different, I'll use the word, directions. The first one is through our relationship with Him, and the second one is through our relationship with our brothers and sisters in the church. If we are not involved in comforting one another, then we are depriving ourselves of this great blessing of comfort from God. I mean, if God offers this to us and we're to take it and give it to others, if we don't offer it to others, how much more do you think we're going to receive, you know, from God? Well, I don't know. I'm not answering that. I'm asking this a question. But I think that we're going to, if we're not doing it, then we're depriving ourselves. We're also depriving the others. We're also depriving the others. Those of you who are writing notes, put in your notes Matthew 25, verse 40 through 46. Put in your notes Matthew 25, 40 through 46. This is where Jesus separates the sheep from the goats. This is where he says to one side, he says, "You're going to enter in because when I was hungry, you fed me, and I was without clothing, you took care of me, and I was thirsty, you gave me drink." And they said, "When did we do that?" And he says, "When you did it to the least of these, my brethren, you did it unto me." It's the same passage where he says, and to the others, he says, "You're not going to enter in because you didn't do these things." Well, when did we see you? It's when you didn't do it to the least of these, my brethren. That's an important concept that we're to see and we're to get. We're going to miss out on a lot if we aren't doing this. This is what Jesus is implying here. So comfort is a very, very important concept for us to have as part of our being, as being members of the body of Jesus Christ. Okay, now I want us to switch gears and I want us to focus on this exhortation that we are to edify one another. Okay, I'm going to do the same thing. The Greek word for edify is, and I will spell this word again, I will spell this word for you, O-I-K-O-D-O-E. M-E-O. And this Greek word literally means to build a house. The word edify in our English Bibles, the Greek word that it comes from literally means to build a house. Now, there's obviously a spiritual analogy to this word, a sense of the word. And so when we're using the sense of edifying, it would be to promote the spiritual growth and development of the godly nature of believers. We're to be building up our brothers and sisters in Christ. And this spiritual concept comes by either teaching or by example. In other words, we either teach it to them or by our life and our example, the other person could be built up as a result. That's the sense, that's the concept of that particular Greek word that we have for edify. In other words, it is like each believer is going through a spiritual construction project where we are given assistance by the efforts of everybody around us. Now, everybody around us, I'm meaning primarily other brothers and sisters in Christ, because I'm focusing this on the church. So, in other words, we're all in a spiritual construction project, and everybody else that's part of the church is helping to build us up, edify us up through their efforts and assisting us in this, and we're doing it to them. Now, you can't do a physical project, building project, unless you're present at the construction site. Right? You just can't. You can't be involved in a building construction project unless you're there. oh, you could be phoning in and saying, getting the orders and all of this, but I'm talking about somebody who needs to be hands-on there. And we need to be hands-on there, spiritually also. And I think it's a good analogy. I think that we can see that. So a question that I would ask about edifying would be, what is the importance of edification? What is the importance of building up others, one another? Well, first of all, what we need to realize is building up one another is something we are to pursue after. It's not a suggestion. This is something we're to be hunting, pursuing, looking for, involved in, know we're involved in. Romans 14 and verse 19. Romans 14 verse 19. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another. In other words, we're to be pursuing edification one to another, going after it. And at the same time, we have to be willing to bear with one another. If it's going to lead to edification. Romans 15 and verse 1. Romans 15 verse 1. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. Now, already, there are people who check right out. Oh, they continue to listen, and I go, yeah. But they check out because they don't want to bear up with one another. They don't want to be there with one another. They don't want to be the guy, spiritually speaking, who holds the nail for the other member to drive the nail in. They don't want to be there. They don't want to be part of this building up others. But it's all part of our responsibility. We've already seen that. I don't think there should be any question that we're to do these things. Now we're just looking at, okay, am I, and how do I do it if I really want to be part of this? And we really do want to be part of this. So we just need to learn, well, how do we do it? For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, and what comes later was written in Psalm 69 in verse 9, the reproaches of them that reproaches you fell on me. In other words, the burdens that were falling on Israel, he's saying, I'm taking them on me. This is Jesus Christ. This is what he says. And we go, yeah, but that was Jesus Christ. No, it's not that was Jesus Christ. This is also to be us. This is the point. This is to be us also. This is where we're to be. Also, we need to understand building each other up is an obligation that has been placed upon every believer. That's what verse 1 says. Reread verse 1 again if you have a question with that. And brother, I think that it should be obvious that edifying is accomplished through the church, which Jesus designed to edify or to build up its members. The church, we are his workmanship. This is what he is working on. We are his spiritual building project, and we are involved in it, not just a board that doesn't do anything and kind of lays there and gets it hammered up someplace. But we're involved in the whole process of doing it, helping others, one another within the same building process. Ephesians 4 and verse 11. Ephesians 4 and verse 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edification of the body of Christ, for the purpose of building up the church of God. That's why he gave the ministry. So we see edifying the members is not only the responsibility of the ministry. Yeah, that verse shows why the ministry are there. Do we need the ministry? Yeah, that's what God says. We need the ministry for the purpose of edifying, for building up the body. But it's not just the responsibility of the ministry. Go to 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 26. 1 Corinthians 14, 26. How is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you have a psalm, have a doctrine, have a tongue, has a revelation, or has an interpretation, let all things be done unto edifying. And this word, brethren, is not addressed to the ministry. I mean, they would be included. You know, I'm a minister, but I'm also included in the brethren. But I'm not the brethren because I'm a minister. But it's all of us. Whatever you do, whatever you're doing here, do it. Let all things be done unto edifying. Edifying is done through the working of each individual member doing his or her part. Ephesians 4:16. For whom the whole body fitly joins together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working of the measure of every part, makes increase of the body unto the edifying, the building up of itself in love. Every part of the body adds to all the other parts of the body. And it's to be done in love, because we love one another. Therefore, I think that we are seeing that edification is done through love and through kind and graceful words to one another. Ephesians 4, verse 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. We're to be speaking words of love, words of grace, words of peace and comfort to one another. And that builds all of us up. Well, we can go, oh, how are you? Okay, fine. All right. That's not building up. That's not edifying. But every part of the body is going to be doing this. And that is the point. Every part of the body is going to do this. And brethren, so that we will make no mistake about it, the key point to edification, like comfort, takes place through our involvement with one another in the church. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Therefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another even as you do. And now here is the point for us. And I mean for us here in this room, or those who are on the phone, or those who are on the internet, that I want us all to think about. Are we involved in the service of providing comfort and edification to our brothers in the Church of God? Or are we limiting it to just those in the local congregation, or is it to the whole body? Because we need to understand, we're part of the body. We're a part of the body, but we're not the whole of the body. And I need to, and I want to clue it into other administrations of the Church of God. Neither are they the whole part of the body. We are all part of the body. And the sooner the Church of God at large realizes this, the sooner we're going to be able to aid and assist and comfort and edify one another, who are all part of the body. Because this is what we're supposed to be doing. There's place for a difference of administrations. There's that place. I don't have any problem. It's scriptural. We can have that. But we have to recognize this. This is the same question that I also address to all the Church of God groups and administrations. Are you, we, reaching out to the Church of God as a whole body? Or do you, we, pick and choose? And brethren, all too often, this is the case. And I'm going to state right here, that's wrong to do that. It's unbiblical. It is against the body of Christ. Brethren, please understand. My personal concern is not limited to this local congregation. And of course, for obvious reasons, this is where my primary focus is placed, because I am responsible back to God for how I deal with you as the pastor. I'm not responsible how I deal with the members as a pastor to other Church of God administrations. Can I aid them in different ways? Sure I can. In fact, I've been called by other church pastors, well, I do X, Y, or Z for them and their congregation. And I do, and that's fine. But my primary concern, my primary focus, of course, on day-to-day is to this local congregation. I think all of us understand it. But I also want us to understand this. My concern is for the whole body of Jesus Christ, which is what all of our concern is to be. Yes, we have loyalties to, I'll use the term, our local congregation or our administration here. Romans 12 and verse 15. Romans 12, verse 15. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that do weep. Have you ever wondered why we do the prayer request? I mean, there are a lot of people that, I know that there are other Church of God administrations that do prayer requests. I also know that there are Protestant churches that do that. They see that there's a need and they reach out and they reach across boundary lines. I think some of you received a prayer request that I sent out earlier this week. It was from a man who was in a local Protestant congregation, knows that I'm a minister, and says, do you guys do prayer requests? And I went, well, yeah, we do. We believe in healing. We believe doctors have a place, but we also believe God is a healer, and we do anointings, and I went through the whole bit. And he says, well, will you pray for this person? Yes, and I will send out as a prayer request. He says, please do. And that's why I sent out a prayer request about this young woman who has this brain tumor, 39 years old, wife and mother of a child, constant headaches. And we sent it out, and I even told him if she would like, I will even anoint her if she would want to be anointed, because they don't particularly do anointings. And I said, we do, and if she wants to be, I will. He said, I'll ask her. I mean, so we do things for one another. But I know there are other, and that's a sad thing to say, but I also know that there are some Church of God groups who will not do that. They will not do prayer requests unless they're in their local congregation. They're missing out on the comfort and edification that is told all of us as the body to be involved in. And that's a shame, and it shouldn't be, but they do. So, I offer this plea to all of the brethren of the Church of God at large. This sermon is not for just you who are in this room or on the internet or on the phone or going to hear the tape later. But this is to all brothers and sisters in the Church of God at large. Now, I don't know how they're going to hear. I don't know. I don't mean it's flippant, but that's God's responsibility. If he wants people to hear it, people will hear it. But my admonition is, may this exhortation to comfort and edify one another from our awesome and loving God motivate all of us to examine ourselves and to examine our relationship with our brothers and sisters in the Church of God, the body of Jesus Christ. Now, we either have this or we don't. And if we have it, then that's great. If we don't have it, it could be that we, by choice, single out just a local group. And there are groups that do that. Or it could be you've not thought about it and it's not brought to you. But I'm asking this could be brought to others, to other part of the body of Jesus Christ. Not because this is a sermon that I'm giving, but I believe it's because it's a sermon that needs to be heard by the Church of God. I also want all of us to consider the fact that there can be no comfort or edifying if we are avoiding other believers because they are not in our particular group. Hebrews 10:25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as we see the day approaching. The day approaching is the return of Jesus Christ. We may be able to get away with not being together and doing things together, but the time is getting closer and closer where Jesus Christ is returning, and it says we are to be doing that. And I would also dare say that there are many situations where we could meet together and stay loyal to a particular administration. Enough said. I want to close this particular teaching with a verse over in 1 Corinthians 15. In 1 Corinthians 15 in verse 58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. It takes effort. It takes effort to be involved and part of the body of Jesus Christ. Not just an administration. There needs to be effort on our part to do things with the whole of the body. The Aaronic blessing and the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron and to his sons, saying, on this wise ye shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. Brethren, you are blessed as being part of the body of Jesus Christ. Happy Sabbath, and God bless all of you.
For more information or answers to your Bible questions, please contact the Church of the Sovereign God. Our website is www.cotsg.org. That's www.cotsg.org. Or you may write to us at Post Office Box 89111. That's Post Office Box 89111, Tampa, Florida 33689.